There we go.
So I've missed out the introductions in that recording in any way, but it was nice to hear from each of the watchers, and thank you for being here and making a contribution. The format for this meeting is you've each had an opportunity to ask a question and give some inputs. But again, the reminder, please step in. If we don't cover the questions that you asked during the registration process, please remind us and pull us in there. But hopefully by the end of the meeting, we will have covered all the information that we're looking for. It does change from meeting to meeting, and we've held quite a lot of these meetings since the last 18 months now already. And our brains become a little bit like Swiss cheese. So we kind of forget, and at least I do, what has been shared, and sometimes we can make assumptions. So please take us that step back if we need to. The format that we're going to handle this evening, based on the questions that have been asked, is we'll give you an overview, an idea of what a Soma retreat is, so that you understand that when we're talking about working in the Soma way, in a Soma retreat, be it at home or be it in a physical gathering, you'll have an understanding of that. And then the other main topics that we're looking to cover this evening is to give more information specifically about microdosing based on our experiences. Some thoughts about medical conditions. There have been some questions about that and what impact that may have in working with sacred mushrooms. And there have also been some thoughts about people wanting to know more about holding space in ceremony for others in this way, be it with us or on their own. This is very much a process for us of sharing information simply about how we do things. It's not the only way. Mushrooms are a gift to humanity, and humans have been working with mushrooms for thousands of years. The way we work has come from working and learning by experience, mostly through, as a starting point, through the work that Monica started in Somerset West, nearly 12 years ago now. And in that environment, she's hosted more than 350 Soma retreats, and has, it must be close to 4,000 or 5,000 people have worked through that process on her premises. And then that has gone further to where Rodianne and I and others have hosted events around the country, in Joburg and the Garden Route. And then in the last 18 months, during lockdown, there was an opportunity where we were asked, well, how can we help and provide information for people that want to work at home, to continue this, call it a group gathering, this connection of people who are working with sacred mushrooms at the same time? How can we help them prepare? Number one, what information can we share about what needs to be done? What do we need to do? What do we need to know? How can we prepare? And then be available during the experience on a Saturday night, where we're effectively then only a support line for those working at home. So through that, we've learned from experience, and that's what we can share. It's not the only way. Mushrooms do the work. And we're simply providing the information based on experience in what we believe is the best way to have the best experience. And that's really what it comes down to. Mushrooms are always going to present you what you need, and give you what you can handle. But we can maximize that experience and make that the best experience possible by sharing information about what you can expect, how you need to prepare your space, how you need to prepare yourself, and also to make ourselves available in a Soma at home environment to be available should you need help to reach out, be it for a companion that's maybe with you and looking over you physically, or if you happen to be on your own as well, we're there as support. I'd like to pose that question or give the opportunity to our watchers here, Rodi, Kerry, Bianca, and Roger, to give us an overview of what is a Soma retreat, maybe starting off with a physical gathering and overlapping that a little bit with the Soma at home, which is this online experience of people working at home, but giving an idea of what is a Soma retreat, what is this collective event, this collective group of people that come together? What does that mean? Can I start with you, Rodianne? and you give us a short starting sentence, starting paragraph of your definition of a Soma retreat.
Okay, so how we all got introduced to a Soma retreat was we all used to arrive at this wonderful lady, Monica's home. And let's just start there. One of the most difficult things about a Soma retreat is actually arriving, is actually showing up to say, okay, tonight I'm going to do this. Because it's quite nerve-wracking, especially if you don't know what you're going to experience. And when you arrive there, there will be a lovely space that she's created, and there'll be a whole lot of people, which we call watchers, who will be there assisting to create a physical environment that is well taken care of, so that you can ultimately go and have a deep experience and not worry about your physical world. Not worry about anything. If you need to go to the loo, there'll be somebody who can help you. There'll be people worrying about the lighting, so you'll always be able to see where you need to go. There'll be someone there when you finally come out of your journey, and will help you with something to eat in the evening. And that's just the basic physical. Then there's what you do when you arrive at the ceremony. You've arrived at Monica's, which is we'll term the physical Soma retreat. So whether it be at Monica's house, or as Anton mentioned, we do ceremonies. Well, was a year ago, I think, November last year, where you'll go for a physical ceremony and you'll all arrive and you'll actually go to take your 5 grams of sacrament. And in that, it's a large dose. And the reason for that is because we found that over the years, one tends to want to control the situation, because this is something very strange. I'm not even going to label it as anything, because I don't know how to. It is something that's so specifically tailor-made for each and every individual that I cannot label it. So you're going to experience something that will keep you busy for somewhere between an hour, well, some people pop out in an hour, but probably a good 4 hours. But that's not the end of it. Then you will come out, because you're bearing in mind when you've taken a large dose, you're quite, I would say, not unaware of the world, but you really are going to be internalizing your experience. It's not going to be one where you're going to take this large dose and go and sit in the forest and be externally stimulated, if I can say that. The whole experience, and another reason why it's done in the evening, is to try and quieten down the environment so that you are encouraged to spend more time inside and actually get the messages, as if one could call that, that has been tailor-made for you. So I might have missed something, I'm sure I have. There's lots of little details of how you get your sacraments and how you get to the stage and all of those little finer details. But if I were to give you a quick, concise story of what happens, is it's quite simple, actually, if I can say that. And then, yeah.
So that's a rough overview, very much of what the retreat is like, but maybe doesn't necessarily define the purpose. Kerry, your thoughts and overview of a Soma retreat, if you could include. From a personal experience point of view, what is your purpose for attending a Soma retreat?
So I noticed on some of the questions that came up from this group, a lot of questions came up about depression, and the mushroom journey is a sacred journey, and it is about connecting to a spirit that is greater than us. But I came to Soma for that reason. I came to Soma because I was in a place where I thought that I would never, ever get out of. And I had, I don't know if anybody knows the podcast Psychonauts. If you haven't listened to it, it's really worth looking up and listening to it. I'd listened to that. I'd done some reading. And Monica happens to be friends with a friend of mine, and I ran into Monica at a writing retreat, and it was a synchronicity, and so that's why I came to Soma, and arriving there, Roger was there, Anton was there, Rodi, and I can't remember if you were there or not, But I came into it with a lot of trepidation. I had no idea of what I was going to experience. And, you know, everything's explained to you and there's the setting and you choose your spot and you get your sacrament. And, you know, you get some simple advice on things to do, like, you know, remaining upright and breathing, etc. And I had quite a profound journey, but truthfully, it didn't really shift anything in my life. Yes, I felt better. I did microdosing afterwards, but I knew that I needed to do more. And I think that if you're coming to Soma with the intent of personal healing, that intention carries a lot. And so then, as I said, we went into lockdown and then I came into the online experience. And I had trepidation about that as well, because in that physical space, you get a lot of support. And then I did my first online journey on my own, completely solo. I truthfully told nobody in my life that I was doing it except one person. And I found that personal on my own experience to be very deep. And it allowed me to connect very deeply with myself. I think sometimes being in a group, particularly if you're a person who's quite aware of other people, it can be quite a little bit distracting. But being on my own, it just allowed me to really connect with myself and what was happening. And then I did a number of journeys. And it really has been over a year that it's been a year and a half that things have shifted for me. And it's become a much more spiritual thing as opposed to a physical healing. And I think that in addition to doing the Soma, I have done personal work on myself. So I've done a lot of personal reflection. I've really thought about my life. I've thought about what I wanted to change. And the first time I was a watcher, I got a really hard message from Soma. It basically said to me, hey, you, I'm showing up. I'm doing all this work on you and you're not doing enough work for yourself. So it makes shifts in your life. But you also have to make some choices about who you are and what you want to do with your life. And I think that was important for me to hear that. And it's not as if I hadn't done changes. It was like saying to me, okay, you've actually got to take a bigger step now. And I think it gave me the courage to do that. Doing the online experience on my own, I've never felt out of control or that I haven't been able to take care of myself. I'm a very organized person. And so I think if you're going to do an experience on your own, everything needs to be lined up and ready. If you do come on a journey, you know, you'll get connected to what you need to do. And I think that we could then give you more help and information around that. And then the other thing that I just wanted to mention is that one of the other prep things that you do is that you fast as well from the night before. And that's also an interesting part of the journey, because you really get to understand a little bit about yourself and your limits, particularly if it's not something that you do regularly. And I certainly didn't. But it has become part of my life now. So that's a little bit of that.
Thank you, Kerry. Such a lovely background. I want to, as I hand over to Bianca to give us her thoughts on Soma Retreat. I also want to pick up on the idea of intent that you mentioned, Kerry. And Bianca, you're welcome to add on to that as well. Intent versus expectation, or intent to heal or work on something specific, is not necessarily something that we ascribe to with a Soma retreat, as we are connecting to a higher force, a divine force, which the ideas of working with depression specifically or PTSD specifically are are not necessarily treatments that we're saying, well, this does cure. So kind of using that as an intro for you, Bianca, and asking you to give some thoughts about a soma retreat from your point of view.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, having experienced both sides, I think there's always a pro and a con to either side. And I think the people, if you haven't done a retreat at Monica's or a retreat where you had other people around, I think being incredibly open to do it by yourself at home, because I think when we started these online journeys, we were very skeptical. And I think there's so much positive of doing this by yourself, and to set your own environment and to be in a space where you're safe and to have somebody in your space that you trust, and it is priceless. When you do it with other people, there's always that consideration of, can I cry? Can I let my emotions go? Can I laugh? Can I fully engage you? There's always this, like, this part of us that wants to be considerate, because that's just how we are. And I find mushrooms makes that even more dominant. So I think that the online journeys are really something that are quite amazing. With regards to expectations, what mushrooms has taught me in many aspects, it's just to trust. So it's to trust, to receive, and be open to whatever I need to receive or I'm allowed to receive. And it's not so much having an expectation or an intent. For me, it's more to say, okay, I'm going to enter this and I'm going to trust and just take whatever comes. And that happens on the same way as somebody asked the question, am I ready or am I not ready? Or is my mind ready or is my mind not ready? If you hear and you have the opportunity to do it, trust it. That's all I can say. It's soma knows so much better than us. And if we try to make these, am I ready? Have I done this? Have I done that? We're never ready, or we're always ready, however you want to see it. So that's my contribution to this. Thank you.
Thank you, Bianca. Kerry, coming back to you.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. I wanted to just add on to what Bianca said, and also to what I was saying earlier. We have an expectation from a Western mindset around illness. And that is we'll take a pill and we'll be better immediately. Whereas illness, and illness can encompass a lot of things, or unsettledness, or not feeling yourself. Whereas mushrooms really take, it's a longer view, and it's not an immediate, and it's not an immediate shift. I really like what Bianca said. You have to trust the mushrooms. You have to trust that they know the work that you need and will work with you. You have to have that willingness.
Thank you, Kerry. I'm going to move on to Roger. And Roger, finding you on the screen, before I ask you to speak, I'm just referring to Vasco, your message, and the difficulties that you're having with your health for the last 4 years. Maybe, Roger, you can tie in with that idea of cancer treatments, and that understanding of specific treatments or spiritual treatment. The meaning of working with mushrooms has a lot to do with the spiritual work and spiritual journey that's being done in your understanding of the world around you. And our work in a soma retreat, using that as a stepping into of the continuous work with microdosing, rather than saying, well, we're first going to microdose and then journey in a retreat. The purpose of the retreat being to calibrate yourself and get an understanding of what working with mushrooms is all about, and continuing that connection through with microdosing. I just want to refer to that comment as well, Then hand over to Roger and hear some of your wisdom and some of your words as well, Roger.
Anton, I actually want to start with a little quote that I came across this week. And it says this: nobody will protect you from your suffering. You can't cry it away or eat it away or starve it away or walk it away or punch it away or even therapy it away. It's just there, and you have to survive it. You have to endure it. You have to live through it and love it and move on and be better for it and run as far as you can in the direction of your best and happiest dreams across the bridge that was built by your own desire to heal. And I'm going to park that off there, and I might come back to it. The first point I want to make is, yes, there's been a lot of talk of the therapeutic side of psilocybin, that it does help with depression, that it does help with end-of-life anxieties, that it can help with addictions and all that sort of thing. But that's actually not the intent behind a soma retreat. That's almost an add-on benefit that you might get. But the main purpose behind the soma retreat is a spiritual and a mystical experience. Is a journey into your own consciousness. And it's a very personal experience. And it can be blissful, but at the same time, it can be hard work. And that ties in with what I've just said. That it can be hard work. But having said that, like Kerry, I'll never forget arriving at Monica's for the first time, and you, Anton, and Radian were there. And I know Radian has always said that it was as if there was a storm cloud hanging over my head. I was an angry person. I was angry with the world. But through the spiritual experience of soma, all that focus of looking outside and being angry with the world in my soma experience was me looking internally at myself and realizing that the only person that could actually solve the reasons why I was depressed and that sort of thing was myself. And so the point I want to make in part is that it's not necessarily the panacea to all things, but a soma retreat could be your first step in a process of healing yourself. So yes, after my first experience, I left Monica's the next morning, not too sure what to make of the experience. But a week or so later, I did realize that those manic depressive thoughts that loop in your brain on a continuous basis had shifted. But that was the beginning of a process of learning to love myself, learning to forgive myself, and taking actionable action to get to that point. And that's the point I want to make, is that it's not necessarily, we must be careful if we view it purely as a therapeutic thing. The main purpose is spiritual and mystical. In respect of microdosing, my own experience says to me that you actually need that big bang first. You need that 5 gram soma journey first, and then to me that's where the greatest benefit with microdosing comes in, is after that first dose. In respect of the question by Vasco, Look, I think with cancer patients, generally with most cancers, there's no harm in journeying on with psilocybin. And I also think that for cancer people with who are in a terminal state, we know that it can relieve end of life anxiety and that sort of thing. So yeah, I'm going to leave it there for now.
Thank you, Roger. Vasco, you're welcome to ask questions and gain more of an understanding as we move on as well. I want to pass over to Kim, who's also on our panel, who's joined us a little bit late. Kim, I know you've been busy this week, and I think you're going off in due course as well. We've been giving each the opportunity to give an overview of a soma retreat and some thoughts and ideas from each of the experienced watchers' point of view. You as a physician as well could maybe give your own thoughts on what is that, as well as maybe some thoughts of from a medical point of view, what medical conditions should one be concerned about, if any. I'm putting that in as a random thought that you could ponder to add some information. Are there any concerns in using psilocybin mushrooms from a medical point of view? And then we've given each the opportunity to give their own idea of what is a soma retreat, be it physical, be it online at home. Really happy to see you as well, Kim. It's a big broad. Let's hand over to Kim and let's see what he has to say. How are you this evening?
Yeah, it is quite broad. I mean, what's the meaning of life in 30 seconds? But I mean, that's completely in line with who you are, both of you. Can I just ask a question? How many people on the call have not experienced mushrooms and soma?
Maybe a wave of hands. Who has not experienced mushrooms?
Hold on, let me just have a look at the... So, yeah, and then, of course, there's all the ones we can't see. So, all right, so there's a few people, because there's nothing like preaching to the converted for switching everybody off. And I don't want to do that. I speak first and foremost as a human being, and simply just would share that if you are interested and drawn, there's a reason. There's no compulsion ever. And I think that's really important. It's one of the things I love about this group of people. There is no compulsion ever. If at the last minute you feel it's not something that you want to do, then everybody respects that whole process. But if you're drawn, you're drawn for a reason. And I would say that my being drawn to this work and these experiences are without question amongst the most important of my life. I wouldn't be without them. And I wouldn't be without them either in when we meet together in physical time and space, or whether we now meet online. I was deeply skeptical about what could be achieved in an online journey and what kind of support and holding there could really be, having had my first experience in person, first of all, with two very, very great friends who are part of the extended group, and then with Monica, and really only ever wanting to be in her sacred space. But it is remarkable, absolutely and profoundly remarkable. And I'm sure others have spoken of that. As a physician, theoretically, it's illegal where we are. I've paid the price on a couple of occasions in different ways for making it known that this is something that I support and believe in. and have recommended people to. Is it safe? Absolutely. In relation to conditions, you know, the last 40 years of my life has been in medicine one way or another. And where I am now as a professional is with such a profound respect for the uniqueness of each individual and the dangers of being led solely by statistics and losing the individual in the normal distribution. Nowhere and no when has it been more profoundly apparent globally than it is right now, all over the world. So from a physician's perspective, I take each individual individually. And for one person, whatever condition they may have may actually prove to be an indication that means go with care, make sure there's somebody with you, you know, look at what medication you may or may not be on and how you deal with that. And for another person, it may not be an issue at all. But those are for different individual reasons that have to do with what's going on in them, where they are in their lives, at what stage they're at, what relationships they have. It's, you know, it's really is a big question. And those of us who are healthcare professionals in the group, I think would share that same view. And there is a good number of us in this group of people. So there's no shortage of expertise for those who have questions. And in direct response to Vasco, you've obviously had experience. I'm very happy. It's just come to me as an idea, Anton. You know, I wrote a position paper, a seminal piece of work called Diseases of Meaning, Manifestations of Health and Metaphor. And I'm quite happy to make that available to go up on the website for people to have access to, because I've just articulated that everything revolves around the individual. And the same applies to cancer. We can talk about generalizations, but at the end of the day, your cancer is yours. It's your cells, your life, your journey, your reasons, your meanings. And nobody else can deal with that but you. You can get help from us, and the value of that help will depend entirely on the integrity, the honesty, and the authenticity of what you meet on the other side. So, and I know that Roger would share my view completely, that anybody who says this is what you do and here's the formula is talking out of their rear end. It's got to be done individually. And that, you know, that may mean that there's microdosing and there's having a good 5 gram journey. It may mean that you have more than one. You know, God knows. You will know. It's your journey and it's your life. And Roger's quote couldn't be more apt from that point of view. So from reading what you've written, Vasco, I think you're already being guided. And my response to you is start listening and follow it. Just follow your intuition. Because if I can close by saying, probably the most important realization for me through my work, not through my work, through my being graced by Soma, is my absolute certainty now that this life isn't the end. Every single journey that I have been blessed to share, I have the same experience in one form or another. And each time I get to see more, experience more, be blessed with more. It can be tough and it can be beyond beautiful. I mean, there are no words for it. And every person on this call who's been there will share the same thing. You know, after a journey, we have breakfast together and we try to share what we've experienced. And it's never different that we're searching with words to describe a multidimensional, you know, transcendent experience. So it's safe. It's magnificent. This is an extraordinary group of people who are surrendered to making it possible for others. I hope that helps, Anton.
Always does. Thank you, Kim. Before I let you go completely, Tam has asked a question on the subject of contraindications. From a medical point of view, and from my experience, Tam, also just to add before I ask Kim to maybe answer from a medical perspective, is very often people are looking for advice on very specific medical conditions, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart conditions, a variety of medications. From a Soma point of view, you're always going to get the same answer in that mushrooms are one of the safest substances to work with. And from an experience point of view, there is no concern. We have to be aware and we have to be open to assess every situation. But from a medical point of view, from a medical condition point of view, a lot of it is often psychological rather than actual physical. Kim, am I speaking out of turn there a little bit, or would you agree?
No, I agree entirely. I also, as a physician, I learn from those who are much more experienced than I am in working with mushrooms. And Monica's not on the line today, sadly, for all of you, but one of the things that she has taught me alongside Anton and Rodianne is there is a major distinction between mushrooms and soma. Mushrooms are the vehicle, the material that we imbibe. And soma is the word that is given for the state of grace in some respects that we may be able to enter as a result. They are different. And one of the things that is extraordinary about it is that soma is, I'm going to just use shorthand, in some respects, is the consciousness of which we are all a part. And so when we take mushrooms, we have the opportunity to become consciously more part of it. And in my experience as a physician, I'm going to say all disease exists, comes about as feedback in order to enable us to recover that connection. So whether you've got high or low blood pressure is not really an issue. I'm sure that there will be exchange, Tam, about your personal situation and what you're comfortable with. But I have not experienced there being any particular problem. You know, in fact, most of us have experienced that the majority, it's not everyone, will find they need less medication, they need less diabetes control, they need less epilepsy medicine. Sometimes they can just walk away from their antidepressants and their antipsychotics because lo and behold, they've actually got the lesson in the journey that their symptoms have been seeking to guide them to. And I'm looking actually at this particular moment at Yanis because in the last three journeys that we've had together, I think Yanis has had incredibly intense lived experience of what I have just said.
Thank you, Kim. To open this up in a more conversational kind of way, I think something like depression is a question that often gets asked for people that arrive at these conversations and at the Soma experiences, people that are on antidepressants, and what is the process of removing themselves from those antidepressants. And before I kind of talk a little bit about depression and maybe touching on Yanis, who's here this evening, just for the benefit of the group, here are some here as part of this meeting who are always invited back who have journeyed with us either once or several times. And this conversation is an opportunity for them to still to be part of the Soma experience. And they may have journeyed with us a month ago or 2 or 3 months ago. And this is an opportunity for them to find themselves in the same position as what they were when they first started out, as either to share their own experience or to ask questions, because they're in a certain place where they do not have all the answers yet themselves. So the idea that often comes up from a point of view from antidepressants, and it's a very common question that's asked, is, do I need to stop taking my antidepressants, et cetera, et cetera? And the very standard advice, the fit all advice, is we recommend that at least for a day or two, you stop taking your medication. As SSRIs and a variety of antidepressants do subdue the effect of psilocybin mushrooms. It doesn't create a contrary effect. It just simply subdues the effect. And again, we're trying to give everybody an opportunity to have the best experience. But a Soma experience in working with mushrooms is not a cure-all. Take this pill and your problems go away. And I think that's very important, especially with people that are suffering from depression, and it's conditions that they've been struggling with and working with for a very long time in their life. Is one journey is not going to take all your problems away. Your solution is going to come from within yourself, and that connection with the Soma retreat, with the 5 gram journey, is a starting point. Is often your first step in doing continuous work, either still with mushrooms. We have people that journey on a regular basis, even week after week, 3, 4, 5 times, or a year apart, or microdosing in between. Or what happens is a first journey or a second journey could assist with you taking a step in a different direction and looking for a different solution that you may not have looked for before. That aha kind of realization of, hang on, I can try something different. But it's not going to make your problems go away. It's not going to make your underlying issues going away. In some circumstances, it does. We talk about the rewiring effect of waking up after a journey, and you can't remember anything, but you feel different. And we see the people a week or two later, or we see them 6 months later, and they're transforming as human beings. But the human being, as we are, don't necessarily see the transformation ourselves, because we're looking at ourselves in the mirror every single day, and we're working hard on ourselves every single day. And it's the people around us who, a week or two later, or a month or two later, Roger, you've got your hand up. You're a wonderful example of this, of your people and family and friends around you saying, but you're changing, and you go, well, am I? Yes. And now you look, yes, I am. That change that takes place is a continuous process of us working on ourselves. Roger.
What I can do just very briefly is just give you a little brief resume of what happened to me. And that is that I ended up at Soma Land, and I was in an absolute state. I'd been in a state of deep depression, from which I thought I was condemned to live with for the rest of my life. As I said, I had my first Soma experience, and I left there the next morning not too sure what to make of the experience that I'd had. But I did realize a week or so later that those manic thoughts, those horrible thoughts that loop in your mind, when you're in a depressed state, had lifted. But that was just the beginning. Because with the further work that I did with Soma, I suddenly started exploring the issue of love. And I came to the realization that I had to learn to love myself. And there were certain things that I had to do to get myself into a position where I could love myself again, where I could forgive myself. And that once I'd learned got myself to a state where I could love myself, then I could start loving those people who I dearly loved, but with whom I could not love. The part of the point I want to make here is that what happens in the Soma journey is that sometimes you see issues from a different perspective. And to a large extent, that is the key that helps you then moving forward to unlock the jail that you have locked yourself in yourself. Because that's part of the realization that I came to, is I came to the realization that the only person, the biggest stumbling block to my depression and continued depression was myself. I had built the walls around myself. I had locked myself in that room of depression. And the only person who had the key to get me out of that was myself. I don't know, and the point is that it was in my journeys, in my Soma journeys, and seeing things from a different perspective that allowed me to see what I was actually doing to myself, self-sabotage that I was subjecting myself to on a daily basis.
Thanks, Roger. Before we move on and maybe give it a little bit of an overview of some of the differences between a physical Soma retreat and the Soma at home experience, just to give you a better idea, just to remind you again that please, if you have any questions, just step in and let us know and interrupt us at any point. You are very welcome to. No problem about no camera, Candace. I'm just catching up on the text. I am hearing what is being told about the stopping antidepressants day or two, and I'm going to add just a link shortly as we're talking on to the full response on what we're advising regarding antidepressants, is that changes to prescribed medication should not be done without the assistance of your medical practitioner. So where possible, from a medical point of view, is by all means work with the advice, and if you have the blessing and an opportunity to work with someone who is open to helping you along that path, but the understanding that it is a best possible situation. So a day or two is often possible for people. If it is not possible, by all means, we're not saying stop. We're saying if you cannot do without your medication whatsoever, then do not stop. But if there is an opportunity to allow yourself the best possible situation, then follow the advice of your medical practitioner who is prescribing your medication. And there are some here that can speak from experience where they have worked in this process. And you're welcome to share your comments here. Going cold turkey on medication is never a good idea for everybody. But for some people, it may be a choice they would like to make along with medical advice. So thank you for just pointing that out for me, and I'm happy to highlight that and allow others to speak from experience where they're able to give from their own advice, etc. Rodi, I'd like to maybe draw some highlights on the difference between this physical gathering and the Soma at home experience with a very specific underline that when we're working with Soma at home, we're always encouraging, especially those working for the first time with mushrooms, to have a companion with them and not be alone. Either ask a trusted friend or a family member to be with them in the space that they will be working with mushrooms. So we're not necessarily encouraging specifically people to work on their own unless they do not have another choice and are willing to do so. And that brings this role of the companion, a person that's with you for this experience, brings them into the picture. And what we're providing from a Soma at home point of view is twofold. And that first step of that is the preparation phase, which lasts the whole week, which is a preparation period of sharing information to the companions, to the journeyers, And sometimes it's a group of people. It's three or four or five people that are planning to work together on a Saturday night and connect with us digitally. We've got journeyers journeying all over the globe, and they've been giving an advice, and their companions have been giving them advice on what they need to do, prepare the space, and what can they expect. And then the second part is the experience itself. Rhody, can I ask you to share specific information on what we do the week before? Via what methods, and how do we share information and assist people to prepare for the experience?
So Anton's touched on a bit of a difference between a physical retreat when you would go to a retreat that we're holding or one that Monica's holding, or our at-home experiences. When you go to Monica or a physical experience, you will obviously be in connection or communication with the host of the event. Whereas when you come to an at-home experience, you are put onto a WhatsApp group. And for the week before, we're actually in communication with each other. So unlike when you go to a normal experience where you're completely thrown in on your own, you arrive, you have never met anybody. As wonderful as it is to see everybody in the flesh and you actually get to meet, and it's a great bonding time. There, we tried to find a way to recreate that in this online world. And that was our WhatsApp. So now what happens is we have this WhatsApp group that's available. So if you're feeling nervous or anxious, it's really lovely because you can actually post on the group and say, well, you know, this is my first time and I'm feeling really nervous. And you know what the beauty is? There's three or four other people feeling exactly the same way. And we're finding this ability to be able to share with each other how we're all feeling. And oh gosh, oh, power's just come back on again. How we have people who are nervous and now we can share, but find my train of thought again. And then for instance, like Anton was saying, we have with these people, we've called ourselves panelists on this. What we will do is we will all be allocated a specific area that we will be answering questions about. So there will be someone who will be answering your questions on how to, as Anton has touched on, prepare your space and any questions that you have around that. And we have someone who can help you with the technical support. And we have someone that will help you with preparing your food for the week and how to eat for the week coming up. And if you should stay away from meat, and it's not for any spiritual reasons, it's just purely so that your body is in a, like Kerry mentioned, you fast before and it's for no other reason than you want the best physical experience. So if your digestive system is clean and empty, the chances of you getting nauseous or feeling really funny, other than the pure experience that you're meant to be having, are a lot reduced because of these preparations that were taking place in. So in terms of that, and then Anton also touched on that we try the best we can to make sure that nobody does this on their own. So obviously Kerry has touched on, she was a good person to keep referring to her, but she's our poster child, if I could say that. She's proof that you can actually do this alone, but bearing in mind she's done an in-person retreat as well. So for some of you who wouldn't have done that, this is, we do suggest that you find someone who is with you, because you underestimate, even like Kerry said, you know, you can do this on your own, but you underestimate when you've never done this before, being uncertain of how your body's going to react. And just having someone there that you can trust that can be like, oh, are you still real? Yes, I am real. Okay, great. Then you can relax into your space again because you have that connection to another human. But we have had people that don't have that opportunity, and they have come out on the other side, and they do come back repeatedly, and we see them on a Zoom call month after month. So even though it's not ideal to do it on your own, you can do it on your own for the first time. But we prefer that you didn't. I don't know if that answers what you were wanting.
A good overview of what that week is about, and in some ways, meetings like this is similar. And that's very important about what Soma is about, is opening the door and allowing anybody to arrive. I see, oh, there's Roger's hands up. Allowing anybody to arrive and allow this group of people to connect. And with this preparation period, I don't have all the answers. Monica doesn't have all the answers. As experienced as what she is, and as experienced as this group of Soma Watchers are becoming, we don't have your answers. And we are not guides. We are not telling you how to approach your life. We're actually opening the door to allow the world to come to you and allow, in a spiritual way, a divine force to guide you, to present you with a person who could give you that answer, or for allowing you to find that answer for yourself. So that week of preparation gives you an opportunity to get all the answers that you need to. And the second stage then comes on the Saturday night, when is the night of the event. We have an opportunity on the Saturday evening. And Roger, I'm going to come to you shortly. I will hand over once I finish my own train of thought. We come together in a Zoom environment very similar to this, where we can then connect and ask questions and clarify and settle our own thoughts for an hour or so before the journey actually starts. But once that meeting is over, although there is a team of watchers that's available via WhatsApp, via GSM phone call, and via Zoom, where we're available for you to connect to if you need us, you're effectively turning into your own space. And you and your companions are working in your own environment, and you have a digital connection to the outside world, where we'd like to know how you're doing, and we're available in support throughout the night if you need us. But the journey work on your own, and your connection is your own. And that's very much the second stage of a Soma experience, is throughout the Saturday night, is that digital connection, which we can feel energetically, we can feel it around the globe, we can feel this connection of people. And until we meet up again on Zoom on Sunday morning and hear about the experiences and what people have gone through, the human mind's ability to create fear before an event is highlighted to be totally unnecessary. And often that advice that we give is, in life, you should move towards the fear. And it very much applies to a mushroom journey, is that psychological fear you have, an idea you have, is just the gateway perception of steering you in a certain direction. And we're encouraging you to open up, to gain an understanding of that fear so that we can move forward. Roger, I'm not sure at what point you'd like to share, but please share your thoughts.
Yeah. In terms of what I wanted to say is simply this, that at a physical Soma retreat, there would be a number of watchers watching over a number of journeyers. What do the watchers do? We simply anchor the facility, the room in which the people are journeying. And then we resist the temptation to intervene, simply because there is no need for us to intervene. In a Soma journey, all that's required is yourself and what we call Soma, the spirit of the mushroom. The work is internal work that you do inside your own consciousness. What I'm trying to do here, in a way, is allay any sort of grand fears that there may be. What we've learned is that all that you really do need is yourself and the mushroom. There does not need to be any outside intervention in your journey. It's a hard lesson to learn as a watcher. Is to be as passive as possible. So the point I'm trying to make is that really all that you need is yourself and the spirit of mushroom. Yes, I agree. If you're doing it online for the first time, it's preferable that you do have somebody present with you. But in the grand scheme of things, all that you need is yourself and the spirit of the mushroom, And between you and the spirit of the mushroom, you will do the work that needs to be done that night.
Thanks, Roger. Good opportunity to maybe talk about the watches a little bit. Michael has asked about the watches taking a dose, and in the physical environment, that certainly is the case, where a journeyer takes a recommended dose of 5 grams. The watches are taking a 1 gram dose. And the main purpose of that is we're walking in both worlds, effectively in the physical realm and in a spiritual realm. And we're connecting with that process together. And as watchers, we are learning how to take that journey away from a retreat in a spiritual environment or a ceremony environment into the real world around us. Because once we start experiencing this understanding that as much as what we want to help everybody around us, it's not the best way, especially when working with mushrooms, that we can actually help. It's this understanding of holding space for someone does not necessarily mean that you can solve their problems for them. And we're learning that when we work with mushrooms is that we can be there, we can be compassionate, we can help someone through having a difficult time. And a difficult time is often a profound time. The cliche of there's no such thing as a bad trip is very true. The difficult periods and the difficult times when working with mushrooms are these deep experiences where you actually learn the most. And helping a person through a difficult experience is sometimes what being a Soma watcher is about. But it means allowing them to go through that experience, is allowing them and not breaking that, and holding the space for them to allow them to gain the understanding of what they need to discover through that process. And the worst thing we can do is make a promise that everything is okay. Because after a Soma journey or even after this meeting, you're all going to go back into your own spaces on your own at home. And anything that I've said doesn't really count anymore. However you've interpreted it and however that perception is that you have of what I've said is what counts, your belief and your understanding of that. So when you're on your own at home, no matter what a watcher has helped you with, you still need to confront and deal with your understanding of your reality and the world that's around you. You still have to do the work. And as a watcher and holding space for someone in any environment, the highest gift you can give that person is to give them the understanding to do that on their own. And that's what we're teaching in this way. In working with mushrooms in the Soma way, watchers are not guiding people through the process. We're not even sitting. Monica specifically hates the word of a sitter. We're not a sitter. We're with someone. We're watching the world that we're in, our immediate space, and we're responding to what's necessary. And sometimes that response is a lot more than sitting. That response is not necessarily only our intuition, but it's a tool of us acting as a messenger to be able to give person the best experience of allowing them to gain an understanding of whatever they need to understand. And that I will never know. That no other watcher will ever know. That only you will know. And it takes incredible courage to actually take that step. Kerry, I'm not going to call you a poster child, but it's it's now easy to refer to you as someone. Me as a man, I've got incredible respect for you as woman. Kerry, you're an example, but there's so many more here that over especially the last year and a half have the courage to work with sacred mushrooms on their own. And I think it takes just as much courage to step into a physical space, but to do it on your own is a proper example of dealing with your stuff, of all the research that you're doing, all the information is out there, and the work that Monica does in sharing the message that has been out on Carte Blanche, that's out on YouTube. Trust me, there's a lot of misinformation as well, in the sense of people professing to know stuff that they don't really know. we're sharing information from experience. We're not saying it's the only answer. If you have a different understanding of how you would like to work with mushrooms, by all means, step down that road. But especially women and any man who has an ability to take a step and face and have the courage, I really do take my hat off, because I've seen the transformations. I've seen the transformation in myself. I've seen the changes that have happened in my life. And that hasn't been a watcher that's come along and given me advice. That has been a watcher that's taken the role of walking in both worlds. It's taken the role of sometimes being the bad guy. Michael, that example of taking the 1 gram and walking in both realms, the spiritual realm and the physical realm, means that you're also taking responsibility for having someone project something onto you. And that projection can be, yes, I look like a Roman god, but it could also be that I'm projected to look like a really bad guy. Because that's what message you're receiving. That's the insight that you're receiving. I am projecting something that helps you forward on your path of gaining understanding in your life that I've got no idea about. And when we start pretending that we do have an idea, we're putting ourselves in a different mode or in a different role, which has a different place. I'm not saying there is no place for that role, but in a summer environment, it doesn't work. I'm reading the comments again. Leon, you're asking about the next events. We have set monthly Soma at Home events, and that is in 10 days' time. The next Soma at Home event is on the 6th of November. There is a sign-up link on the same page that this registration link was found. The physical gatherings haven't started up yet. We're looking at evaluating that again in December in Somerset West. It's such a difficult process. In Somerset West specifically, we went through a period earlier this year of having small groups. Those got shut down again. A normal summer experience has been 15 to 20 journeyers. And in a normal home like Monica's, that's a very confined space. Limiting it to 5 or 6 or 7 people has been possible, and it's likely in that way that door will start opening up again. But it's unlikely to open up quickly where we can return to a journey where we have 20 journeyers plus 5, 6, 7, 8 watches. It's sometimes as many as 30 or 35 people in a normal home. I'm hoping that in the near future, again, there's an opportunity for us to have the outdoor events again, which is what Rodianne and I host when we travel around the country. We do it in an outdoor stretch tent environment, which at least gives you the outdoor events. But when that's going to happen again, we haven't set a specific date. We do have a mailing list. When that information does be shared or will be shared, you'll be included in that. And you'll get some kind of information about that as well, Leon. I feel like I rambled on again, as I do. If there are any other questions, have I missed anything here? You're welcome, Candace. I wanted to touch on microdosing a little bit. Roger, you mentioned as well about your preference, and it's our understanding, and it's not only a preference, it's from experience, that the best opportunity to gain the most out of working with psilocybin mushrooms is to first do a 5 gram journey, which gives you, Monica uses the word calibration, it gives you a complete calibration and understanding and connection of what work with mushrooms is all about. There's nothing wrong with microdosing beforehand in preparation or in a lead up to a journey. But from our experience, and not as a black and white answer, from our experience, it's not the best opportunity that you're giving yourself. There tends to be this human tendency of, I'm first going to test the temperature of the pool before I actually jump in. And then once you start testing the temperature of the water, it's just not right. So, well, you know what? I'm going to wait a little while. And you get a complete misperception of what it's actually all about. And that's often what happens with microdosing. In other instances, me saying that I would likely be proven wrong, because there are circumstances where that may be different. But journeying with the 5 gram dose and then continuing microdosing after that, in a very non-scientific way, because as humans, again, we have this ability or tendency to want to put everything in a capsule, to weigh out specific amounts, to take a pill, because the pill is going to make it all go away. When we're recommending microdosing, we are talking about a simple pinch. And we send out notes about that. But we tend to overthink things, and that could be in preparation for microdosing and after microdosing. Simply take a pinch, tip of a teaspoon, and that's a microdose. And the avoidance of 0.1 grams every second or third day or 3 days running complicated again, because it makes a person a guide. It makes a specific formula of what is needed to be done for you to receive the benefits. When we've been working with sacred mushrooms for thousands of years as human beings, before we had scales, before we had capsules, they picked it, they maybe dried it, and they said, here, take this on a daily basis. Take a larger dose, do it in a ceremonial kind of way. Very much the way that we're encouraging this to work in many kinds of ways. And a microdose is simply throughout the day when you need it. It's once you calibrate it and then get an idea of what it is to work with mushrooms, you can take a smaller dose. Often people, when they've journeyed sometimes 2 or 3 times, that journey dose can become 2 or 3 grams. It doesn't have to be 5 grams, and you can have just as a powerful experience with a smaller dosage. But once you've gone through that calibration process, if I could keep calling it that, is taking that pinch, which is not a 0.1 or a 0.2. It is a pinch which is well below any quantity where you're going to feel any physical experience, physiological effect. If there's any kind of effect that you have, you've taken too much. It really is a small dose, but you can repeat that 2 or 3 times during the day. Take a small dose beginning of the day on an empty stomach, put it underneath the tongue, let it dissolve, and go about your day. And if you feel anxious again throughout the day, you can repeat that 2 or 3 times. That can be part of your daily routine. And because it's completely non-addictive, it's not something where you feel like you're reliant on it. Mm-hmm. It's not like an antidepressant where you have this experience of, you know what, I feel really better, but am I being dumbed down? Am I being numbed?
No, mushrooms. Wean myself off.
Exactly. Mushrooms don't work that way. Mm-hmm. Completely non-addictive. And often the microdosing simply stops because you're on such an even keel. And I know I sometimes go through experiences where I forget. Weeks go by, and it just hasn't crossed my path. And it's not like there's something missing. It's not like I'm gaining anything either. But when I look on the days that have gone by, things just shift. Things are smoother. The days flow. Rodi, have I missed any thoughts on microdosing specifically? Anybody would like to add anything on that?
I have to see what Roger's typed in there, which is exactly, but you did mention it too, is if you feel your microdose, you definitely have taken too much. And I've often said to somebody, if you're really nervous about taking a microdose, do it on a day that you know that you don't need to be anywhere, or you don't have to go and show up and be, just in case you're nervous, but ultimately you should not feel anything if you take a microdose.
And Anneli has asked about the suggestion not to drink or eat anything for a time afterwards. The recommendation is about a half an hour. Allow your body to ingest the sacrament that you've taken, and give it the best possible opportunity. Again, it's very much in the way that we're recommending working. We do not know how each individual person works. But from experience, we can say, well, let's give things the best possible opportunity to do the best possible work that they can. And hence, on an empty stomach, first thing in the morning, don't eat anything for a half an hour before, and that gives it the best possible opportunity. But you're not necessarily going to feel, oh, I feel better now, or an hour later, I feel lighter. It's often that experience of of looking back on your day once you arrive in the evening, and looking back on your day and say, well, you know what, this day was better. Rhody, you often use that example of cutting off in the traffic, and that's largely what happens with a soma ceremony, and even with microdosing. It's that person, which is sometimes us, I know it used to be me in many cases when I used to work in the corporate world, is you're a grumpy old guy because every single day for that first hour or two, you arrive at the office and the guys have cut you off in the traffic, and you're upset about that at least two or three times a week. You arrive at work and the guys cut you off and you're upset with him and he's taken charge of your day. And a mushroom journey may take that away. And it doesn't take it away of changing you any other than when a person cuts you off in traffic, you just take the foot off the gas and you let him in. And you've forgotten about the experience completely. You haven't attributed taking the foot off your gas to mushrooms either. You've attributed to you know what, I'm doing really well today. I'm in a good mood. I'm not going to let that guy ruin my day. Mm. You don't say that is mushrooms or that is soma. That's you. And that's what working with mushrooms is about. And that simple kind of way is making those little shifts, those little decisions, those decisions that make you better, and allow you to be better. Okay, going through the questions here. Dirk has asked, any advice for new watchers or companions? What could go wrong? Of our panel, who would like to sort of cover what could go wrong? Kerry.
I'm happy to start. And the answer is, I actually don't have an answer, because there's not really anything that can go wrong. I think what happens with people, particularly if you're a first time user, is you often fight against the experience, and that you don't allow the soma to take you down into the journey that you're going into. And I think because of that then can create more anxiety than there should be. But there's simple ways to deal with that. And, you know, we talk a lot about breathing properly and just sinking into the experience. People often get quite emotional, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just allowing the experience to happen. Some people get very physical. I remember my very first journey, I was very contained, and then about my third journey, and then that third journey I was on my own, it was a very physical experience for me. I had to move. I had to lie with my legs up the wall. I had to stand up and then sit down. And so I think it's very important to allow that person to experience what they need to experience in that space. And if they need you or they want something, they will ask. I don't know if any of the other panelists have anything else to say on that.
I want to add to you, Kerry, and Dirk, from experience for companions or watchers, and the SOMA at home events have been wonderful in being available in a helpline, support line kind of environment where you sometimes get called and ask a question and say, well, the person I'm watching over or the person I'm with is doing this. And the response 9 out of 10 times is, well, are they harming anybody else or are they harming themselves? And 99% of the time, the answer is no. And with that, the companion or the watcher simply needs to step away and ensure that that is not happening. So if someone's going to step into the fire, make sure they don't. But if they're sitting quietly next to the fire, do not interfere. A lot of the time, watchers and companions, their interference is what's causing the problem. Their want to control the situation is what's causing the interference and what's causing the uneasiness to start off with, is not allowing a person to go in a direction that they need to go. So our roles is very much to ensure that a person is safe and secure in the physical environment. But everybody is okay. there is, under no circumstances is there anything to be concerned about other than a sense of the fear of the dark. And our role as watchers is to allow people to step into the dark on their own and see what's there. And it's the resistance of stepping through that door where the uneasiness comes from. And when we as watchers do not allow people to step through the door because we are uncertain of it ourselves, we want to keep a lid on a pot because we have our own fears of what could possibly go wrong. That's completely unfounded and it's completely unnecessary. Our role is to assist people to step into the dark and to discover the magic that's on the other side of that door, because ultimately it is magic. Ultimately, it is a divine understanding of what you need to know and what you can really grow from and gain an understanding through. Okay. Are there any questions? I'm quickly going to have a look on my notes.
Anton, there was a question earlier in the chat from Michael, which I think you skipped over.
Refresh me, Kerry.
I'm going to refer back to it. It from Michael, he wanted to know if are mushrooms the only sacred medicine that's worked with.
Michael, I'm looking for Michael on the screen. Michael, are there any other sacred mushrooms? There are amanitas. There are a variety of psychoactive. But when we're talking about sacred mushrooms in this context, we're talking about psilocybin mushrooms. I'm not sure if there's any other context that we're referring to. You're welcome to correct me. No, so when we're referring to sacred mushrooms in this instance, I'm referring to psilocybin mushrooms, something like Amanita. We always smile and Monica here would have a very specific answer, because when we talk about mushroom people and the experience of mushrooms, that red mushroom with the white dots, the Amanita, is the one that is the poster child, but it contains no psilocybin. And that's the one that's viewed as a magic mushroom. But the mushrooms that we refer to psilocybin are often defined by the blue, and is what we're referring to when we refer to sacred mushrooms. Annelie, good evening, Annelie. How are you? So good to see you. And I know you had a very specific question. I'd love to talk to you more about that as well. How are you this evening?
No, I'm good, thank you. Yes, that... My question was sort of answered during the course of the evening. I'm possibly hoping for a bit more of an aha moment, which didn't quite happen. Really hoping, I remember with my first journey, I was thinking, I'm going to dive in here and I'm going to do this properly because my mind wants to control everything. And I thought, because I don't ever want to do this again. And here I am realizing that maybe I should all need to do it again. But I wanted to ask, again, possibly being too controlling of it. I understand from what I hear is that every journey is very different for you, have done many. How different is it? Is it like not the same at all? I don't really know what my question is. My first experience, I mean, you have ideas of what it's going to be like, and it was nothing what I couldn't really imagine what it would be like. I expected to have an idea or a vision, or you guys talk about the work you do and you work through this or work through that, but I didn't. There was no thought, there was no picture, there was no thing that came to me. It was, I don't know, my mind just had no control, but I didn't see anything. I didn't work on something. I don't know if I completely missed the mark. but yet it was really hard for me. And during the latter part, I really thought to myself, this is so hard and I will never, ever do this again. This is so difficult. But for the life of me, I cannot put to words what was difficult about it. And I've really tried to figure it out because there was nothing I was working on. There was nothing that I was scared of. There was no imagery or no context. It was just my mind. I did not have control of my mind. And I think that is actually what was difficult for me, is I could not control the situation. I could not control my mind. I could not control time. But apart from that, I cannot really. Yes, so my question is, I think, how different do you experience your journeys from one to the next? I think that is basically it.
And I'm going to ask Roger to answer first. Roger.
Yeah. What I would say to you, Annelie, is that generally what we found is that the mushroom tends to push the buttons in your consciousness that need to be pushed. And we don't know which buttons those are. Yes, each journey is different. Because the message that you need to get in that journey is different from the one before. I would be inclined to say that each journey is different. How different it is almost out of our hands. It really is which buttons do the mushrooms push? Maybe next time, be a little bit less analytical about it.
Annelie, I'm going to speak to you from my own personal experience. I'm one of those people that went to Monica many years ago, and I used to go and journey like once a year. I wasn't one of those people that went really quickly. And there was a period where I went quite often. And I'll never forget, there was one of my journeys where I came out and I was sitting at the kitchen table and I saw nothing. I had no experience. I couldn't remember anything. But I was sitting at the kitchen table and all I could do was cry. I couldn't speak to anybody. I just felt like I was an absolute mush mess. I don't know how else to explain it. And I can't tell you that I went through my next week thinking that, oh, that's exactly what it was. And now I've got it all sorted. And yeah, check that box because I've packed that and unpacked that and I can now shelve it. No. But I do know like those, that subtle thing that Anton was talking about, this cutting people off in the traffic. It's the subtle things that you might have this crazy idea to do something completely out of line of what you as Annelie would do. And it's got nothing to do with this experience that you had last week, but go with that. Because maybe, and this is, again, I'm going to only go from my own experiences, in these times when there's nothing, there's actually so much. And I always joke and I say, you know, sometimes Soma's got this beautiful way of having us have amnesia. So something extremely traumatic, you may have found that you were working through it and that might be why you were crying or whatever you were going through, because I wasn't there, I wasn't able to know exactly. But through you subconsciously working through that all the time, you don't actually have to remember everything to actually get an understanding of what happened. And like Roger said, see it from a different perspective. There has been times in my ceremonies where I have this incredible, like, aha, you said it, that aha moment. And there's this wash over my body and I'm like, oh, the relief, because I understand it. And just like that, what it was is taken from me. and I cannot remember what the aha was about, but I know in my heart, in my soul, in my being that I understood something and something shifted. And that's what I hang on to. My mind can never put all the puzzle pieces together because it is so mystical, as Roger said, and magical and out there, that to try and put together what we've actually seen into, like, you've heard a lot of us say in our trying to explain what we've experienced, is so random that you can't actually find the words, but it's so personal that it's right, it's true, it's what we need. So I don't know if that in any way is trying to help, giving you any kind of like guidance, because no, you're not going to get the answers. And as Roger said, try not to analyze it too much, because sometimes we actually can't. And sometimes you've actually just got to go, well, you know what? Something shifted in me that feels right. And so much so that here you are again, actually saying, okay, I'm probably going to do this one more time, you know. And even if it is only one more time, that's enough.
And Lily, this world we live in, thank you, Rodi, is filled with cliches. Mm. And this word of doing the work is terrible. It's one of them. It's a proper cliche. Mm. You don't have to make the bed every morning. Your day or your evening, your next night's sleep is normally better when you make the bed, but you don't have to. So doing the work is kind of like making the bed. If some days you're really not in the mood for it, so you don't. And other days you just feel a little bit better and you have a little bit more strength and you make the bed. You don't really have an immediate benefit from making the bed other than the bed is made. But when you come home in the evening, your bed's already made. And you end up sleeping a little bit better that night because the sheet's not wrinkled. If it's our house, the sheet's probably still wrinkled because the cat helped you make the bed and it's still a mess. So, and the dog probably jumped on it as well. But the point is that you did a little bit of work. You got to make the bed. And this cliche of doing the work is another terrible one. And we should chuck that out the window.
It's a trap.
We're all just trying to be better. We're all just human. We're all making the bed in our own way. And sometimes we're not. And sometimes we're mowing the lawn. And sometimes we're not. It's all just in different ways. And we're just doing the best we can. And Roger's answer on the 5 grams, you're quite right there, Roger. And the dosage is a recommended dose of 5 grams. And we do recommend people to take the 5 grams rather than less. Body weight doesn't make a difference. And you could take less, but maybe it won't be enough. And that's that maybe. It's that serious disappointment that, well, what if I should have taken 5 grams? And again, from experience of thousands of people going through this SOMA experience, 5 grams is the right dose. It's the recommended dose, but no one's forcing you to take that amount. You're welcome to take less, but it's possible that you don't have a full experience, and that could be disappointing. And we'd like to avoid that. There's some environments where people recommend, no, well, 3 grams is the starting dose, and that's okay. That's a different way of working. The way we're recommending is not diving in the deep end. It's just stepping off the first step and immersing yourself in the experience. And to fully do that is with a 5 gram dosage. Robin, you're asked about where you can get psilocybin. Are you in South Africa? I'm looking around on the screen. We can talk about that via email when we work with the SOMA at home information sharing. I can send you more information about that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Does that answer? And we'll take it.
That more than answers. I wasn't sure if I could ask.
You're welcome. We work through a process, and I always love adding this story. It becomes a bit of a boring one, where it's the accessibility to psilocybin mushrooms. That's often a problem. We've had people joining us from all over the world, North America, Europe, and In New Zealand, we had a lady join us, an expat from South Africa, who couldn't find mushrooms. She didn't know where to go and what to do. And this is the unfortunate thing about the legality aspect is where do you get driven to go and source a substance which humans have been working with for thousands of years, but it typically goes into the underground. She didn't go into the underground. Her lockdown project was to grow it herself. And maybe that's a solution to supply and ensure that anybody around the world does have mushrooms, and that's to grow it themselves, because the spores are not illegal, and growing psychedelic mushrooms are not illegal. It's once you harvest the flower that there is psilocybin on the substance. That's the illegal part. And she took on a lockdown project and grew her own mushrooms. And the first time she took a dose more than, I think, a half a gram or a gram was when she joined us for a Soma at Home event. And she was a bit of a time traveler. She started with us on Saturday evening, but it was Sunday morning for her already. So she had a daytime experience with her husband, with her being with her during the morning, and then spent the day on the beach while we were 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock on Sunday morning in the dark here and getting sleep ourselves. She spent the afternoon taking a beach walk and then joined us for our Sunday morning Zoom meeting. So we do travel back in time. We sometimes travel forward in time. We have people that journey with us from North America, California, Canada. And in some ways, we can assist them with a source in their local area, or assist them to grow themselves as well, which is a wonderful solution. We can send them sacrament from anywhere, and it can be received safely anywhere. You just need to grow it. Okay. Are there any other questions? Are there any other points that anybody would like to add? No. Tam, hi.
Hi, Anton. I had a question on facilitating. I've been asked by a few people to facilitate journeys for them. Any advice? Obviously, I'm aware on holding space, that kind of stuff. More from a practical standpoint, any prep stuff to keep in mind?
Tam, I know you've journeyed with Monica before and you're now in a different time zone. Yeah. And it's so wonderful when you get asked to facilitate, hold space, and the recommendation is go with it. The preparation information, you know most of it already. In very much preparing how you would for a ceremony with Monica. Otherwise, the information is on the somaland.org website. A lot of the info is already there. There are links there to a variety of frequently asked questions. There are links there to the playlists that we use and have prepared. There are links to how we prepare the sacraments. And then the final suggestion is to join us, to be part of our group for a Soma at Home event. It's very much what we've recommended groups to do, is take the concern of preparing for an event away. Take the ring fence away. And that's largely what I think the Soma events out of lockdown for me has created, is we have experience. Roger has experience. Kerry has experience. All these wonderful people and normal people from all walks of life have experience in working with sacred mushrooms, and allow them to receive that experience without ring fencing it and saying, well, this is the way, and I'm not going to allow them to connect and receive information from elsewhere. So if you have a group, you can pick up any of the information via the website, but you can also align it with one of the dates that we have set, and allow those people to connect with a larger group worldwide. And you're still responsible for looking after their physical space. Mm. You're still responsible for them on a day-to-day basis, assisting them with whatever integration, because you have the experience specifically to do that. But you have the added benefit of having this this helpline, the support line for the whole week for preparations and also throughout the night, irrespective of time zones. We've even worked with ideas of a rolling soma ceremony of starting at every hour of every timeline. We're available throughout the Saturday night through Sunday. Sometimes journeyers are starting, I think California is it about 8 hours?
Yeah.
We've had some groups starting in that time zone. Seattle and California sort of started at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock our time in the morning. It's Michael that is then in the middle of his journey 4 hours in that sometimes joins the Zoom meeting, but he's not quite with it, but at least his presence. But we remain available throughout the Sunday if he needs any support as well. So the same could apply. But otherwise, the information is all there. And or be part of that. We're happy to share all that information. You don't have to work with us in this specific way. And this is this beauty of mushrooms is it's there for everybody. The psychedelic experience has been part of the human experience for a very long time. And I think in this modern age, we have this tendency to want to tell people how to experience it. Well, we're doing it our way, and we're sharing how we're doing our way, and we can give you our advice. And there it is. It doesn't cost anything. We can answer any questions. We can give you the information that we have. And we're inviting you to be part of us. But if you're not, here, this is, go ahead, come back to the meeting in a month's time and share your experience and say this worked for you or this didn't work for you, or ask more questions. That's what this environment is about. That's what this community is about, because that's how we can share and grow. And this repetition of soma ceremonies, we tweak it. It's not a set formula of how things work. We're constantly making adjustments. We're constantly making mistakes. And a mistake is not something we do on purpose. But when we allow ourselves to make mistakes, we allow ourselves to learn. And if you don't know what to do, make the mistake. I've really learned that as one of the big lessons from Monica is in my corporate life, not doing anything was the worst thing you could do. Being frozen in the headlights and not reacting at all to the world around you probably caused a lot of trouble. But if you do something, even if it's wrong, you're still making the best decision and taking the best action. So if you're holding space or facilitating an event, you're going to do the best that you can. But if you make a mistake, it's not wrong. It's a wonderful ability, and it's a wonderful gift to learn something. And especially when you take it as that, when you take a mistake as an opportunity to grow, because you did the best that you can. And that's a recommendation I would give to anybody wanting to facilitate, watch, host a ceremony. Do it with an open heart. Do it with integrity and honesty to the people who you are journeying and watching with, or working in this way, and allow yourself humbly to make mistakes, and don't let other people be hard on you and be hard on yourself, because you will grow. Us as watchers are challenged because we make mistakes, and then we think everybody's looking at us and we think we are wrong, and we're human after all. And that's how we grow. That's how we become better, and that's how we learn. So by all means, we'd love to hear about that. Come back to a meeting, send an email, share with us however your experiences turn out. And if you do join us, that would also be wonderful, as a group or with smaller people, with smaller amounts of people as well. You are very welcome.
Thanks, Anton. I appreciate that. I do have one last question. I know when I journeyed with Monica, she would keep a certain amount of watches depending on the amount of people she had in her group. What would you say would be sort of the cutoff for me to be a single solo facilitator? What number cutoff would you recommend? I know it sort of go intuitively, and what I believe I can handle, but I haven't done facilitating before, so it's I'm a little out of my comfort zone.
What do you think, Rhodey? What is So yeah, put it out there. Just batted it across to you.
I have no idea. I've only ever worked in groups, and I'm only ever part of group ceremonies. I don't do one-on-ones even. So for me, it's a... I wouldn't even know where to cut off. It can be incredibly challenging if you have somebody who's being difficult. You might need somebody else to run off with a bucket for you if someone's busy vomiting, because you can't help someone with the vomiting and take the bucket away. So I liked your point of saying go intuitively. I think it's always a good place to start.
Roger.
I've been trying to say maybe two, because if there is something that needs to be handled with, then at least there is somebody else present. But there again, I mean, my own experience at Monica's is that normally the number of watches that you have there is the number that's required. Sometimes you might think that you've got too many, and you find that night you needed all of them. And some nights you might think, well, you're a little bit understaffed as far as watches is concerned, and it turns out to be the right number. I don't think there's a hard and fast rule. But what I would say is if you are facilitating for more than one person, then maybe two watches is a bare minimum.
I agree. Have some backup.
Mm. Always have backup. Mm. Always be prepared and always be teachable. It's a good way to learn in the real world as well.
Mm. And we don't know what size groups you're referring to, so that also makes a difference. I mean, if you're referring to 4 people or 10 people, that also changes things quite substantially. I mean, we've been at Monica times when there's been 2 journeyers and 7 watches. Like Roger said, it's a very strange way how things work. So I think following your intuition and just being open to that, and as Anton says, being teachable is probably the best solution.
Okay. Our group has become smaller. Are there any more thoughts? Anybody would like to tell us how they are? Any other questions?
I think I like to share my experience from my last journey. I have stopped my antidepressants and my sleeping tablets cold turkey. And through this last month, I had 3 bad days. And I felt bad because I felt out of control. But now looking back, I know there's a future for being non-medicated. And that's why I'm continuing the journey. It was a lot of self-learning and seeing the little bit of sunlight at the ends of the dark clouds. So it's worth it.
You know, Aletta, I've been sitting here for most of the last hour and a half
waiting,
looking at this little block on the screen and wondering how you are. And
I'm actually looking amazing.
you're looking really well. There's a light shining out of you.
Yeah.
And it's those experiences and sharing our own experiences with others is so important as part of our own journey.
Okay.
And how is your amazing companion? Lizzie, we spoke with her a little bit on the Monday.
Yeah.
Has she shared with anything with you either as well further?
No, she's very supportive, and she feels that, I need to carry on to you completely, but I feel very well, but I want to know myself better. I think you lose yourself after so many years of taking antidepressants and sleeping tablets, you've been numbed to a point that you actually don't know how to feel. And she's very supportive, and she's going to be with me in the next journey as well. she thinks it's worth the effort. So I'm glad for my sake.
I'm so happy to hear, and I'm so happy to hear about the positive steps.
Yes.
And thank you for having the courage. Us as watchers, we appreciate hearing about that so much from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Watchers here are giving a lot of themselves, sharing a lot with an open heart, and offering their time, offering their energy in the online environment, but in the physical environment, there's time and all those efforts. But the reward of seeing transformations happen is very important. So you look amazing. Well done. Thank you for letting us know. And we look forward to seeing you. Are you joining us on the 6th?
Yes, okay. I'm actually going on leave, but we will discuss that. I'll send you an email.
Yeah. Thank you. Looking forward to connecting with you again in that way. Thank you, Aletta.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Any last words from the watchers? Brody, Kerry, Roger?
Just thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for asking questions. Thank you for taking a step in the right direction, or a direction, shall I say. So thank you very much.
So that's us for this evening. Wishing you lots and lots of love. And thank you for spending time with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to seeing you again whenever and wherever that may happen. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Anton and Rody. Good night, everybody.
Rody.